here talking about a couple of different issues. Would the members please join me in welcoming Janet Oates?
Further committee announcements or general announcements? Special orders? Representative Veazey?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I request the privilege of the floor to speak on courage.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, no one ever said it would be easy when it came to doing the public's business. I think we saw a very good example of that on the floor today, and all the members would be commended. But I think we should take advantage of that to remind ourselves that when we are doing the public's business, we need to remember to have courage and to be courageous. Courage is a difficult to understand concept, Madam Speaker. It comes from inside. But as a society, we deeply respect courage. And I'd remind everybody, I was trying to think of some examples. And one that came to my mind was 44 years ago, a little woman, a little middle-aged woman, no less, named Rosa Parks, had the courage to simply refuse to give up her seat on the bus. And from that simple act of defiance, that simple but courageous act of defiance, the civil rights movement arose. And we have come a long way since. I would remind everybody that about 40 years ago, a man named John F. Kennedy wrote a book called Profiles in Courage. He won a Pulitzer Prize for that book. Our society honors courage. Most of all, we respect courage. And I think, unfortunately, Madam Speaker, if the public was asked to paint the legislature as a profile, they would quickly do so, but it wouldn't be as a profile in courage. So, Madam Speaker, I just admonish the body to remember that we need to have courage and to be courageous. And as a member of the minority, as probably the minority of the legislature, I am constantly asking myself, what is my role in this parliamentary body? Well, Madam Speaker, if nothing else, the role of minority is to remind the majority to have courage, to be courageous in their actions. And I think we saw an example today where it's difficult to criticize anybody's actions today. We had a very, very good debate, very long debate. I wouldn't accuse anybody on the floor today of being dilatory. It was all very sincere, very heartfelt. But I think that we will all recognize that it was the few, the minority, who, through the courage of their convictions, pressed the red button that really showed the most courage. And I commend them for that. And so, Madam Speaker, I've been thinking about this for a long time. And so I decided that I would like to share something with this body. And the reason, Madam Speaker, is thinking about courage and my role in the minority. Courage is something that can be shared between people, but you never lose it. It's a symbiotic relationship. It's always a net gain whenever people share courage. So I'm offering to share with this body my courage stone. Very, very simple little stone, Madam Speaker, and it's one of those things that if you believe it will work. I realize that people are probably looking at my courage stone and they're saying, just a rock. No, Madam Speaker, it's not. And I tried to think about how was I going to explain this. It's not just a rock. It's a stone. It's a courage stone. And the best example I could think of is one of our great American heroes is not remembered as General Rockwall Jackson. He's remembered as General Stonewall Jackson. And stones have characteristics that are very special to human beings. So this is my courage stone, Madam Speaker. And with great humility and with great hopes for the work of this body, I'm offering to share this with every member in this body, that if any time anybody in this body feels they need a shot of courage or a little extra courage, well, I'll share this with you. And it won't cost me a thing. I'm not going to lose any courage. I might actually gain a little bit from it. So, Madam Speaker, I'm offering to let everybody on a nonpartisan basis come and share and touch my courage stone, gain a little extra courage. And as we proceed in doing the public's business, I hope that we remember that we need to be courageous and to have courage. The only other thing I would really like to add, Madam Speaker, is I'd just like to emphasize that it takes more courage to swim against the tide than it does to swim with it. And it takes more courage to vote against the voting tide than it does to vote with it. So, Madam Speaker, anytime, for whatever reason, anybody in this room feels they need more courage, I'm willing to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Veazey. Representative Grusendorf.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. Seek permission of the floor to speak on stonewalling.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. Really what I want to talk about is policies and findings section in the new subsistence bill that is in the Finance Committee. And when I looked at it last night, I found it rather interesting, and the first page I agreed with. It spoke in terms of sound management principles, conservation of healthy stocks, efficient game, management recognized by scientific principles, non-wasteful use. And at that point, I was kind of moving along and thought, well, you know, this really makes sense. I can follow it. But then it moved down further to the legislative findings, what they found. And one thing that struck me very peculiar is it said, Webster's New World Dictionary, second college edition, so-and-so, defining rural, and proceed to define rural as rustic. But after that, Madam Speaker, nowheres in the text of the bill was the word rural used. They were deletions of the word rural. They were sections that were repealers that I traced down, which had the word rural in it. But nowhere in the text is the word rural. So I guess my question is, why did we go through all the trouble of defining it by Webster's when everything beyond there isn't related to it? And the findings here that we find that it is consistent with Title VIII and the ANILCA provisions. I did not find that consistency in what I read further in this. Madam Speaker, I read a newspaper article not too long ago, like the other day, where the chairman of the Resources Committee indicated that we are steered a new course to the right, avoiding the rocks of the constitutional amendment. Well, I guess that's fine, but when you make a very extreme right turn and you're not conscious of where the beach is, I think what has happened by what I can see is that we've run aground on the beach of despair. That's an area very close to Poison Cove and In Peril Straits. And some or other, Madam Speaker, what I've seen so far was just the findings aspect of it. We're going to have a long time ahead of us in dealing with this issue.
Further special orders, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I feel compelled to ask the permission of the body to speak on That's the Point.
Mr. Majority Leader, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In relation to the member from Sitka's comments, I don't think that there is or was a pronouncement that that bill met the specific verbatim repetition of ANILCA. It was stated to attempt to meet the intent of ANILCA, and that would be, of course, to provide subsistence to subsistence users. The listing of the definition of rural was precisely so that that definition could be considered when thinking about what is rural in Alaska. And the definition of Webster and obviously the definition of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals have nothing in common with what is rural or urban about Alaska. And that is the point.
Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Request permission to speak on What's the Point?
Without objection, you have the floor.
I don't have the copy of 406 in front of me, but I do recall that section in the findings or the intent language. It declared we are in compliance with ANILCA. Legally, Madam Speaker, that's what's known as bootstrapping, sort of a tautology. It is, therefore it is. And I would hope that when we get a chance to review the bill that goes through finance and through the capable navigational skills that we'll find there, hopefully we can avoid the straits and the of peril and Poison Cove and all the other dangerous spots on the chart that confront us. And hopefully, Madam Speaker, we'll put a helmsman in charge who knows where we're going and how to get there. Thank you.
Representative Kelly.
Permission to speak on analogy overload.
Without objection.
Enough said.
Representative Croft.
Permission to speak on form and substance.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Join the representative from District 32's commending the debate we had today on the resolution before us. It seemed to me that everyone, though we were talking about the flag and we were talking about the physical desecration of it, we really weren't talking about the physical flag that sits behind you. We weren't so concerned about the waste of cloth or whatever material flag is. It wasn't the physical flag we were concerned about protecting, it was the ideal of it. It was the ideas embodied in it. And of course, you can't burn or desecrate. You can't burn an idea. You burn the flag to represent a set of ideas. It seems to me the only damage you can really do to an idea is to not be true to it. The only real damage you can do to something non-physical is to fail to uphold the principles that it embodies. So we took a position today on physical desecration of the flag. I worry that in doing so, we did not protect what we should have. We protected the physical and did damage to the ideal that's behind it.
Further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent of the House stand and adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
We are adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.